Well, let's go to the UK where Brendan O'Neill waits to talk to us. It's always wonderful to be able to pick Brendan's brain from all sorts of different issues that are going around. He's on there via Skype. Brendan, good morning to you, our time.
Hi, Michael. How's it going?
Well, thank you. Look, you just before we get to the topics we were going to speak about, the news just coming through from America that the great talk announcer Rush Limbaugh has died at the age of 70 after that lung cancer battle. I mean, arguably the pioneer of talk radio in America and certainly the most successful. I think he dies worth about $500 million.
It's extraordinary, his life and what he did for the media in terms of, you know, helping to create this whole new way of talking to people. And of course, the left absolutely loathed him and held him responsible for almost every bad thing that happened in the US for a period of time. But he was a good bloke. He did some good radio discussions. He pushed the media into a new era. And I think that is the thing people should remember him for.
Absolutely. A real pioneer. Now, you've written for your publication, Spiked Online, about the persecution of this actress, Gina Carano. Just take my listeners through the story here.
Gina Carano is an MMA fighter and a big, strong physical fitness woman who is also does acting. And she has been in Disney's huge Star Wars spin-off that has been on Disney Plus for the past few months. And she was a major star in that. And she's now been dumped by Disney. She's been sacked. She's been shamed online and demonized. And essentially, she's been cancelled because she made some comments on her Instagram account about how the hatred for right-wingers today is reminiscent of the hatred for Jewish people in the 1930s. Now, I think, personally, that was a stupid thing to say. There is lots of anti-right-wing sentiment around. No one is going to doubt that, but I don't think it can be compared to the 1930s. But the great irony here, of course, is that lefties and liberals and lovies have been comparing everything to the 1930s for the past 4.5 years, Trump's America, the vote for Brexit, anyone who doesn't share their woke opinions, all of that stuff is written off as fascistic and just like the Nazis and just like Hitler. But they get away with it scot-free. As soon as Gina Carano does it, someone who's on the right, she gets sacked and demonized. So there's such an extraordinary double standard there.
Well, there is. And of course, Donald Trump was Hitler, according to most of these people. And everywhere they turned, there was Nazi Germany before them. But as you say, I mean, you don't have to go far that far back. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger just a couple of weeks ago was at it.
Absolutely. Schwarzenegger made a video in which he compared the riot at the Capitol building to Kristallnacht. And Kristallnacht, of course, was the anti-Jewish pogrom in 1938, which is widely considered to be the starting point of the Holocaust. And he made that comparison, a wild, inappropriate, historically illiterate comparison, really offensive in my view.
Was he criticized?
He was not criticized at all. He was praised to the hilt. He was celebrated in The Guardian and various liberal newspapers in the US as well. This wonderful man standing up to these evil Trump supporters. His comparison with the Holocaust, I think, was even worse than anything Gina Carano said, because he took a specific event from history, this terrible pogrom of 1938, and used it to score brownie points in the here and now. But he was celebrated and she is demonized. So the whole thing demonstrates the staggering levels of hypocrisy on the modern left, where they think they can do anything they want, but if anyone else does it, they have to be expelled from polite society.
Yes, and as you went on to write, and this is quite true, this is an illustration of their arrogant assumption of control over words, of language, and indeed of memory itself.
That's right, because I think that the signal that Disney is really sending here, because the other side to this story is that there is another actor on this Star Wars spin-off for Disney who has compared Trump's America to Nazi Germany, and who has compared Trump's imprisoning of illegal immigrants to the imprisoning of Jews in death camps. He still works on the Star Wars spin-off. He still works for Disney. He hasn't been sacked because he has the right views. He has the woke views, whereas Gina Carano doesn't, and so she has to be thrown out. So what Disney is essentially saying is we get to decide who is allowed to make Holocaust comparisons and who is not, who is allowed to use this kind of language and who is not. and what kind of views it is acceptable to hold. So this is another example of these new elites. Disney is central to these new elites coming out of West Coast America. These new elites signaling to the world, really, that they are going to control the cultural narrative and the political narrative, and anyone who deviates from it will be punished.
Madness, isn't it? Well, speaking of the new elites, Harry and Meghan, they're going to sit down with one of the greats, Oprah. I'm sure that'll be a hard-hitting, deep, probing interview.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, shy, retiring Meghan Markle, who's been fighting for the past couple of years to protect her privacy. Now, of course, she's going to go head-to-head with the most famous interviewer in the world and spill the beans. You know, this again, it's the hypocrisy, it's the double standard. Meghan Markle has just successfully sued a newspaper here in the UK, the Mail on Sunday, because it published a letter that she had written to her father, Thomas Markle. She was successful. The judge decided her privacy had been breached. And now she's going to go around telling Oprah and, by extension, the world about her relations with the royal family, what's happening with her and Harry, her new pregnancy. So what we have here, you call them the new elites. That's absolutely what they are. And again, it's the new elites demonstrating that they want to control the narrative all the time. They only want fawning media coverage. They don't want critical media coverage. And I think Meghan and sadly Harry personify that new hypocrisy, that new determination to control what we can see and what we can hear.
Meanwhile, of course, there's Grandma over in the UK doing what she does best. And, of course, Grandpa's just been admitted to hospital. But there seems to be such a gulf now, doesn't there, between that old-fashioned royal family, the service and the duty. And I think we're seeing it in William and Kate too, thank goodness. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you've just got that, you know, that almost Princess Margaret-esque celebrity-seeking youngsters.
Yeah, but in some ways, far worse than Princess Margaret. I mean, I, funnily enough, I've just finished reading a brilliant biography of Princess Margaret. At least she didn't take herself too seriously. She was all about fun. She was all about going out. She was all about getting drunk and having affairs and all these kinds of things. Whereas my issue with Meghan is that she is this woke globetrotter who wants to go around the world lecturing everyone about feminism, environmentalism, whether you should go on holiday, how many children you should have, how it's acceptable to behave in the era of climate change. She's become this kind of global lecturer of the little people. And that's actually what really irritated people here in the UK. Lots of Meghan's supporters say that people in the UK were racist towards Meghan. That's completely untrue. When she first got engaged to Harry and got married, they had a huge amount of support in this country. Millions and millions of people watched their wedding. People only went off them when they started to become these kind of feministic, green, woke warriors who were lecturing us all the time about issues we didn't want to be lectured about. And that was the point at which we said, look, we've had enough of these two people.
It's a bit rich, isn't it? The people in the private jets telling people to lower their carbon footprint. You know, I think the average person sees through that. Hey, before you go, I sent you a story from over here. I'm sure you'll have a field day with it. It's reported in our Daily Telegraph today, Brendan, that the Governor General's staff here are being asked, it's not compulsory, but are being asked to do a privilege walk and answer questions about their race, religion and education in a bid to learn about their power and stamp out unconscious bias along the way. I mean, I'm not that big into exercise, but I mean, this might get me into it. You know, occasional privilege walk around the block probably do me good.
It sounds absolutely crazy. I mean, it really demonstrates how
because it
popular.
Is.
It's completely crazy. And it shows how popular the kind of whole, you know, white liberal guilt has become. You know, this idea that we must always self-flagellate for our alleged white privilege and we must constantly pay a penance for the sins of the past and the crimes of the past. You know, this self-hatred that exists among sections of the chattering classes, essentially, is really, really ridiculous and annoying. And what I think this white privilege walk is really a way of, you know, publicly shaming yourself and demonstrating to the world what a terrible person you are because you were born in a particular place to a particular family and so on. It's ridiculous. I think it shows how crazy certain sections of the elites have gone.
They've gone loopy, haven't they? As I said in that famous movie, Tato, I think we're feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. I suspect a lot of us in the West think, where the hell are we, Brendan?
Absolutely, and it's getting worse and worse. And we've seen similar things over the past year. You know, in the US, we saw white people on their knees, essentially begging black people for forgiveness. We've seen similar dynamics in the UK, where every academic goes on about the importance of checking one's privilege, which is really a way of just whipping yourself on the back for what happened hundreds of years before you were born. We've got institutions in the UK, the British Museum, the British Library, the Natural History Museum, some of the greatest cultural institutions in the world, now going over their collections and saying and trying to work out if it's acceptable that they have these artifacts, or should they send them back to where they came from? Should they hide them away? You know, there's this orgy of self-loathing taking place among the upper echelons of society. And I think most normal people are looking at them and thinking, you lot have gone mad.
They are barking mad. At least you're not. Thank goodness for that, Brendan. Lovely to talk to you. I'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Michael.
Isn't he wonderful? Brendan O'Neill, their editor of Spiked Online.